Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9, the passing away of Vishnadeva, text 18. Eshavar Bhagavan Sakshat
Eshavar Bhagavan Sakshat
Rajo Narayana Puma
Rajo Narayana Puma
Mohayan Maya Lokam
Mohayan Maya Lokam
Gunash Chaliti Vrishnishu
Gunash Chaliti Vrishnishu.
This Sri Krishna is none other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead. He is the first Narayan, the supreme enjoyer, but he is moving amongst the descendants of King Vrishni, just like one of us, and he is bewildering us with his self-created energy. This is Vrishnadeva speaking to Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. We'll be part of the purport. The Vedic system of acquiring knowledge is the deductive process. The Vedic knowledge is received perfectly by the simple succession from authorities. Such knowledge is never dogmatic, as ill-conceived by less intelligent persons. The mother is the authority to verify the identity of the father. She is the authority for such confidential knowledge. Therefore, authority is not dogmatic. In the Bhagavad Gita, this truth is confirmed in the fourth chapter, and the perfect system of learning is to receive it from authority. The very same system is accepted universally as truth, but only the false arguer speaks against it. For example, modern spacecraft fly in the sky, and when scientists say that they travel to the other side of the moon, then believe these stories blindly, because they have accepted the modern scientists as authorities. The authorities speak, and the people in general believe them. But in the case of Vedic truths, they have been taught not to believe. Even if they accept them, they give a different interpretation. Each and every man wants a direct perception of Vedic knowledge, but foolishly they deny it. This means that the misguided man can believe one authority, the scientists, but will reject the authority of the Vedas. The result is that people have degenerated. Here is an authority speaking about Sri Krishna as the original personality of Godhead and the first Narayan. Even such an impersonal as Acharya Shankara has said in the beginning of his commentation on Bhagavad Gita that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the material creation. The universe is one of the material creations, but Narayan is transcendental to such material paraphernalia. Om Agyana Chananda Sajjana Jaya Shlakana Chakshu Nuttami Asma Shri Gurudeva. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As I pointed out, Vishnudeva is speaking here and pointing out the identity of Lord Sri Krishna. Eshavar Bhagavan Saksha. This is directly, positively, without a doubt, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the possessor of all objects. Even in everyday language, when you say positively, definitely, what's the slogan for Wellington?
Definitely positively.
Right. So Vishnudeva is saying absolutely, positively, Bhagavan, this is where you go, God and God. No doubt about it. Just like you have no doubts that you're here in Wellington. You just arrived, you know, I'm in Wellington, absolutely positive. Similarly, Bhishmadeva is saying, absolutely positively, Eshavar Bhagavan Sakshat, this is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality Godhead. Adyo Narayana Puman. He's the first Narayan, the original Narayan. He's also the Supreme Enjoyer. Let's understand this person who's in our midst. And what is this person who is in our midst doing? Mohayan Maya Lokam. He's bewildering everyone with his Maya potencies. The Lord has Maya potencies for covering himself from the vision of others. He covers the non-devotees so they cannot see his transcendental pastimes. And he covers himself from his devotees so that they won't think he's God and they'll engage in spontaneous loving affairs with him. Mohayan Maya Lokam. Gudas Charati Vrishnishu. He's moving amongst us, the Vrishni dynasty, just like he's one of the descendants of King Vrishni. He's amidst us, he's amongst us, acting on the one hand like one of us, but on the other hand, no doubt about it, absolutely positively, this is Bhagavan, the possessor of all happiness. In the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out, you have to rely on authority. That's just the way life works. You cannot say that, oh, we do not accept Bhishmadev as an authority. And we don't accept anyone as authority in knowledge. No, you must accept someone, something. Prabhupada gives the example of purport there. People do not accept Vedic authority, but they'll accept the scientist as authority. If you want to judge how your life is being shaped and where your life is going, try to analyze who are the authorities upon whom you depend for knowledge, and then you'll see what has shaped your life. Just like now, there was this war in Iraq, and billions of dollars were spent, and the public were told, you know, our reason why there has to be this war is that there is WMD, weapons of mass destruction, being hidden in Iraq. So, you know, huge army was gathered, Army, Navy, Air Force, international coalition. Yes, believe us. Authorities know. Our surveillance, our intelligence has told us for sure that WMD weapons of mass destruction there. So they had this big bang, and no one has of yet come up with any weapons of mass destruction. No signs of chemical warfare, anything like that. Of course. Now there's doubt. Were there actually weapons of mass destruction? Or was this all a ruse just for the USA to get its will? Now no one has any doubts about whether there's oil or not. No doubt about that. So there's a big, you know, the politicians are a bit queasy, the people are doubting, especially in England, they're after the Prime Minister. You got us into this Iraq thing and you know, saying for sure that there were WMD there and nothing's been found. And the British person who was like the weapons, the Iraqi weapons expert, the authority, the Mahajan, he committed suicide 2 weeks ago. Because he was at the center of this controversy. He was caught between the BBC, who was claiming he told us that he knew all along that, you know, that intelligence reports were dodgy and wasn't sure at all whether there was WMD in Iraq. He told us he knew all along. And then the British intelligence agency was like, no, you misunderstood him, you misquoted him. He didn't actually say that. So the guy got caught in between, and he was found outside his home in the forest with his wrist slashed. Evidently, he committed suicide. Evidently, who can say? He was the authority. Everyone was saying, well, he will tell the truth. He's the Iraqi weapons expert. He's gone to Iraq so many times, 35 times, to make sure they're not producing any WMD. And look what happened to the authority. So now the people are all disturbed. Who can you believe? How do we know who's telling the truth? $25 billion spent in 1 month of fighting in Iraq. Soldiers just dying every day. And the people were told, we have to do this because of the threat of WMD. So now everybody's wondering, who can you believe? No traces of weapons of mass destruction have been found in Iraq. All there is what everybody already knew was there, oil. So now the people are just nervous. Of course, in Little Kiwi Loka, everyone's like, we told you so. That's why we never get involved in wars. We're the coolest. We stay out of all these things. Until someone might attack us, and we'll be begging everyone, please help us, please help us. We have no army. How can you stand by and let us be attacked? So, you can see that people have a crucial problem in life. They must depend on authorities, without a doubt. So we should analyze what the quality of the authorities are upon whom they're depending. They're saying there was WMD in Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. Absolutely, positively. They're saying that. Without a doubt, we know for sure. Okay, that's one authority. Now what's the other authority? Bhishma Dev is saying, Eshavai Bhagavan Saksha. Absolutely positively, this is Bhagavan. There's a rainbow sign of God. Now, are you going to believe? Ajo Narayana Puman. He's the first Narayana. This is how inconceivably great the Supreme Lord is. He expands himself into Narayan forms, four-handed forms. Each Narayan has his own Vaikuntha planet. And then, of course, we should be saying, this is the original Narayan, Krishna, who has his own original spiritual planet, Krishna Loka. Could someone like Bhishma Dev be mistaken? He's such an exalted soul that Lord Sri Krishna came to see him before he left this world. Lord Sri Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev so much that the Lord arranged a situation in which even Yudhisthira could not accept Krishna's words of consolation and wisdom meant to prevent Yudhisthira Maharaj from lamenting about the battle of Kurukshetra. Yudhisthira Maharaj is demonstrating the nature of a Vaishnava. He's blaming himself for the war in which countless millions of soldiers were dead. Yudhisthira is saying, all this for me? All this destruction? All this killing just to put me onto the throne? How horrible is my situation? How sinful I am? How polluted is my heart? He said, I'll never be able to purify myself by any kind of atonement, prayashtita. Just like you cannot filter muddy water through mud, or clean a wine-stained pot with wine, suddenly I cannot free myself from these sinful reactions by performing punya, good karmic activity. Just see my heart. Just see where I'm really at. I caused all this mass destruction just to put myself on the throne. He was condemning himself in that way. I caused so many women and children to be in distress because their husband, their father died on the battlefield. Actually, you know, at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was protesting to Krishna. I don't want to fight this war. It'll bring such social havoc. So many men will die, the women will be left without husbands, and the women will be misled and go astray, and unwanted children will be born. Spishu, Stasu, Varshneya, Jayate, Varnasankara. And when they're unwanted children or improperly conceived children born, then families will become hellish, family traditions will break down, and this way all of society will be a disaster. Actually, it is a fact that what Arjuna was talking about in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it did happen. So many men were killed. So many families were disrupted. And now Yudhisthira is lamenting. But just as in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna pointed out to Arjuna, there's a higher purpose. Don't try to teach me sociology. There's a higher plan going on. Similarly, that same Lord Sri Krishna was telling Yudhisthira, you can't blame yourself. This war had to be fought. By Krishna's will, Arjuna went into illusion and began to identify with his body and mind and didn't want to fight. And similarly, by Krishna's will, Yudhisthira also went a bit into illusion. Lamented, I don't want to take up my responsibilities. I don't want to rule. So by the arrangement of the super soul in the heart of Yudhisthira, Yudhisthira could not be pacified even by hearing from Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna arranged that on purpose. He wanted Yudhisthira to be convinced by Bhishma Dev, and that way Bhishma Dev would get the credit. This is God, always anxious to give the credit to his devotee. And the devotee is always anxious to give the credit to God. The Lord, accompanied by all the Pandavas, marched in an opulent procession to the spot where Bhishmadev lay on the famous bed of arrows about to leave this world. Why do we say he was laying on a bed of arrows? Because so many arrows were shot through his body that it looked like he was lying on a bed of arrows. Even though his body was in such a condition, he was in sound mind. Krishna wanted to display the glories of his devotees. Even though Vishnu's body is shot through with arrows, still he can speak transcendental knowledge. Our Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that in his last days in this world, dictating the 13th chapter of the 10th canto of Srila Bhagavatam. While he was in a medical condition, which doctors say an ordinary person would have been constantly screaming, there's Prabhupada dictating Bhagavatam. His voice so faint, the microphone had to be right up against his lips. Mm-hmm. Krishna wants to demonstrate the glories of his devotees. So he's coming with the Pandavas to where Bhishmadev is lying about to leave this world. And the Pandavas, Yudhisthira and Lord Sri Krishna came in such an opulent procession. They looked like demigods. When Bhishmadev saw this procession, he was very glad because he knew how much the Pandavas had suffered, and he wanted them to be in charge of the kingdom because he knew they were righteous. He knew the Kauravas were nonsense. So he was very satisfied to see this royal procession. Krishna knew he would be satisfied to see this, so Krishna caused it. You know the history of how the Pandavas were tortured and abused and cheated by the Kauravas. But Yudhisthira is thinking, it's all my fault. Only because of me to put me on the throne was his battle for. What's the first thing that Bhishmadev is going to say to Yudhisthira? He's going to point out that he's going to remind Yudhisthira, what about all the suffering that you and the Pandavas went through? Why did you go through such suffering and you were dear devotees of the Lord? In this way, Bhishmadev very expertly is reminding Yudhisthira, you suffered so much. To get Yudhisthira to stop thinking about the so-called suffering Yudhisthira caused others. So these are Vaishnava dealings. Yudhisthira is blaming himself for everything, and Bhishmadev is going to point out that you're so, in other words, you're so humble, you're taking all the blame on yourself, but don't you remember all the suffering that the Kauravas put you through? This is a devotee. Devotees don't like to think of their own suffering. They're always thinking, what about the others' sufferings? You know, in the material world, if someone has hurt you, you just meditate on it day and night. You had an experience, someone's hurt you, someone's abused you, or used you, or cheated you, or angered you. You think about it day and night, right? Isn't that stuff? But the Vaishnava is thinking day and night about the sufferings of others. The Vaishnava thinks, whatever suffering happens to me, I deserve more. I deserve more suffering. But what about the others? They should not suffer. So that's how Yudhisthira Maharaj was thinking. But Bhishmadev was pointing out to him, hey, talk about suffering. What about you? What you guys had to go through? Yudhisthira on his own was not going to think like that. He's thinking about everybody else. Well, this is the wonder of the devotional life. Even Kunti Devi, Yudhisthira Maharaj's mother, what did she say about her suffering? She did present to Lord Sri Krishna a list of all the disasters that the Pandavas went through and survived only by the grace of the Lord. She submitted a whole laundry list of disasters the Pandavas went through. And what was her conclusion, though? This happened to us, that happened to us, this happened to us, that happened to us. Why did you allow this to happen to us? How could you do that to us? Was that her conclusion? That's the way ordinary persons lament. Let me tell you all the things I went through, all the things that happened to me, how I was mistreated. Kunti presents a list of all the mistreatments, and then what does she say? Vipada santi tatshaspa tatra tatra jagat guru. let these miseries happen again and again. Because whenever there were these miseries, you were here with us, Krishna. And seeing you with us means we're no longer seeing the repeat of birth and death. So let the miseries come again and again. Kunti Devi was concerned. The battle of Kurukshetra is over. Everything seems to be fine now. So Krishna's going. That's the greatest disaster of all. Better let the catastrophes come. Then Krishna will stay. What is this? Now, you know, we got our kingdom back. My son Yudhisthira will be king. The enemy has been defeated. But Krishna's going. Oh, no. That same Krishna who is present with us during to save us from so many calamities. He's going now because evidently everything's all right. Okay, then. I say everything should not be all right. We should suffer. Then Krishna will stay. That is bhakti. So she was trying to find reasons why Krishna should stay. She said in her prayers, actually, by the way, it looks like everything is fine now. The battle's been won. But I'm sure that the relatives of the defeated kings will be envious and they'll try to cause problems. Therefore, Krishna, you should stay. Devotee is always thinking, how can I be more absorbed in Krishna's service? Whether it's so-called happiness or so-called distress, how can I have more Krishna, more service to Krishna? That's the standard. It's a bit different from how life is normally lived. The way people normally live life is they want lots of happiness, material happiness, and just a little bit of material distress. No one will say they don't want any material distress because they have this concoction that you need a little bit of distress to appreciate your happiness. Right? So they'll say, just a little bit of distress, you know, like a pinch of salt. It's all part of life. There should be lots of material happiness. And so everybody judges things in terms of material happiness and distress. You should catch yourself doing this, analyzing your life in terms of how much material happiness and distress you have, day by day. And then as you become more purified in Krishna consciousness, analyze how you're starting to judge the days by how much you were serving Krishna's senses. That perception will increase more and more. So much so that if there's so-called distress, but you can successfully serve and remember Krishna, you consider that distress to be good times. The main point is not to avoid distress and get happiness. The main point is to be Krishna conscious and render service to Krishna. So as you become more advanced in devotional service, your standard will change. When you first begin Krishna consciousness, naturally you want to get away from suffering and you want the bliss. I notice all of you quickly learn all the Hare Krishna lingo. Nectar. What's another one? I hear. What else?
Jaya.
Of course, Jaya is Jaya. What else? There's another one. That's nectar. Huh? If you're slang from the 60s and 70s. You learn that when you become a hard Christian and say far out. And heavy. I still say heavy. Far out, right? Whatever ring they'll be wearing. Is there something else they say besides nectar? I can't remember. Are you ecstatic? That's fine. What else? I see it in the letters.
Blissful?
Well, that's... Yeah. Junius, he's pretty expert at running a whole string of articles when he goes at it. I told her, I guess she figured this is all part of, you know, devotional service, you know, you use the words ecstatic, super ecstatic. What were some of the other words you use? Yeah, so we figured, this is how you're supposed to talk. This is, you know, this is how you're supposed to talk to the Hare Krishna. You want to talk as a Hare Krishna, you can learn some verses. Eshavai Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayana Puman. That is how Hare Krishna speaks. Learn these statements by Bhishma, by Kuni Kunti. It's amazing how, as we progress in spiritual life, our standard is going to be changed. No longer will we be simply analyzing our days and nights according to our own happiness. No, instead we'll be looking to see how much did I contribute to Krishna's pleasure. Bhishmadev reminded Yudhisthira, oh, the suffering you went through. The suffering that the Pandavas went through and their mother Kunti was so strong that it brought tears even to the eyes of Bhishmadev, the greatest warrior. How could this happen? Now, that same Bhishmadev is overwhelmed with feelings of affection, seeing his beloved Pandavas safe and sound and in charge of the kingdom. This gives great satisfaction to Bhishmadev. The Lord knew, Lord Sri Krishna knew Bhishmadev would be so satisfied to see this. Therefore the Lord arranged the whole scene. The Lord arranged that Yudhisthira would not be satisfied hearing from the Lord himself. You have to hear from Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev is an authority in devotional service. There are 12 main authorities, as you know. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapalam Manu. Vishuddhi is one of the 12, just like Prahlad Maharaj and Brahma, Lord Kapila Dev, Shukadev Goswami, Bali Maharaj, like that, Yamaraj. Vishuddhi had to persuade Yudhisthira to take up the throne, because without a proper government head, people are going to suffer. Yudhisthira was feeling reluctant. That couldn't be, because the world would be out. Proper guidance. It would be without proper guidance. So Bhishmadev had to convince her. Bhishmadev referred to Lord Krishna. He's moving amongst us like he's one of us, but actually he's the Supreme Personality of God. He has his energies that bewilder everyone. We should devote a significant part of our life for understanding Krishna, so that we're not bewildered by what Krishna does. Of course, in the perfectional stage of spiritual life, we want to be bewildered by Krishna so that we don't think he's God. We want Krishna to be our child, our friend, our lover. That is life in Goloka Vrindavan. What prevents us from understanding Krishna in the beginning is Nirvishesha Shunyavada. That's why we sing, when we say Prabhupada's Pranamantra, Nirvishesha Shunyavada, Paschatadeshatana. He delivered the Western countries, which are saturated with impersonalism and voidism. You have to ask yourself, do you really accept Ajo Narayana Puma? That the Supreme Absolute Truth is the original person, the Supreme Enjoyer? Or are you an impersonalist? Or tinged by impersonalism? The Absolute must be some murky, vague force or energy. Something formless, without individuality. You have to check yourself and see how much you have those conceptions. The way you check yourself about that and focus properly on the Absolute Truth is by hearing from authorities like Bhishmadeva. Now, what about Bhishmadeva's humility? You know what he's going to ask? He's going to ask, may the Lord be present before me. May I stare into the face of the Lord as I'm about to leave this world. Why is Bhishmadeva asking that? Because he's so humble, he's thinking, who knows, maybe I won't see Krishna again after I give up this body. So therefore, may he be right in front of my face as I leave this world, just in case you don't see me. He's not thinking, I'm a great devotee, I'll always see Krishna. Although it's a fact. But he's not thinking like that. He's thinking, I'm just insignificant. Lord Sri Krishna is right here with me now. But maybe I won't see him again. Whatever he prays, my Lord, please stand before me as I give up my body. And he asks, I want to see the Lord in his four-handed form. You see, Bhishmadeva knew that, as he says here, Adyo Narayana Kumar. The Lord is the original Narayana. He's the origin of the four-handed form. Four-handed Narayana form. The two-handed form of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, is the origin of all the Narayans in Vaikuntha. So why was Vishwadeva asking, let me see the four-handed form of the Lord? Because he had a relationship with the four-handed form of the Lord. Even though he knew Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Vishuddha's destination was to be a Vaikuntha planet where the Lord exists always as part of the Sarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. So this is how devotees feel. This is the humility, this is the purity. Any questions?
Maharaj, I was wondering, we also see instances like when Nakura went to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. You see that concept that he was feeling very sure about himself, that he would surely see Krishna in a beautiful place and was speaking in so many ways.
So that's another devotional mood of confidence. He was thinking, just see, I've been sent by Kamsa, the greatest demon. I, a devotee of Lord Krishna, have been deputed by Kamsa to go bring Krishna back to Mathura so Kamsa can attack him. How does this look for me? And then he said, Krishna knows where I'm at. He'll understand immediately. Then he was visualizing in his mind what would happen as he reached Vrindavan. When I see the Lord, I'll fall down at his feet. The Lord will, beckoned me to rise, knowing that I'm his loyal servitor. That's also a devotional mood. And bhakti is full of perfect emotions. It's not a question of, well, because there's humility, there also can't be confidence. Just witness Vishwadeva's confidence. He's seeing Krishna in his two-handed form, but he's saying, may I see the Lord's four-handed form. He's indicating his preference. So it's not like because this emotion is there on the perfect spiritual platform, that emotion can't be there also. There's different times, different ways, different expressions of individuality and personality.
How can we understand or cope with material distress when it does stop us from remembering Krishna?
Why should material distress stop you from remembering Krishna?
For example, a few weeks ago I was needing to speak 12 hours a day, when I was awake, I was like a zombie.
Then play some tapes while you're awake.
But the degree of remembrance is far reduced from normal.
Yeah, it gives you a chance to practice for the time of death. True. If you look at it like that, you can wonder, what will I be like at the time of death? That's why King Kulashekar prays, Krishna tadeya para pankaja panjalantam ajaiva vishutimeya manasarajahanta. O Lord, let me die immediately while I'm young and healthy. Let the swan of my mind be caught up in the lotus network of your feet. Otherwise, at the time of death, my mind and body will be afflicted, and I may not be able to remember you clearly. So now you're getting experience what the time of death could be like. So you naturally, I'm sure you'll try harder to be Krishna conscious in your healthy moments. Krishna's showing you, oh, you think this body is for enjoyment, Julian? You think you have a nice future as a material enjoyer? Well, let me reveal to you the truth of the body. You have to see how to utilize the situation. Come up with various strategies how to deal with the situation so that you'll remember Krishna. Yeah. Just like for myself, because I'm changing time zones a lot. Sometimes I just wake up in the middle of the night, just taking rest for a few hours. And can't get back to sleep. So then I have to decide, maybe I should just get up and do something. Do some service, and then go back to sleep when I can, or else. Usually what I like to do is have a CD player that plays continuously. That's why I was asking last night, can you make the stereo play the CDs on, repeating them all night. So that way if I wake up, and the body is too tired to get up, but the mind is awake, then when the CDs are playing, Prabhupada's bhajans, then it won't be so bad. Rather than just lay there in agony, oh, I can't get up and I can't go to sleep. So you have to devise your Krishna conscious systems, defense systems.
Yeah.
You have to think about it. It's like now you're trying to get my Apple iPod MP3 player to do what it's supposed to do, because that's my one of my child defense systems on an airplane. So think how you can arrange your life to be Krishna conscious in any circumstance. This takes a little thought. It's personalism. When you care for someone, you want to make arrangements to please that person. Krishna is pleased when we hear about him, when we talk about him. Anything else? Krishna consciousness means you're trying to satisfy Krishna's senses. Material happiness is some temporary agitation that comes to your body and mind. It doesn't mean that we should go out of our way how to be miserable in Krishna consciousness. That way, you know, we'll be sure that we're not falling victim to material happiness. We have enough austerity already. You don't have to artificially come up with austerity. Look to see what gives pleasure to Krishna. And you don't have to persecute yourself in order to attract Krishna's attention. You shouldn't say, I shouldn't be happy if I have a nice husband. What's your happiness? That would be miserable. Whatever you have, use it in Krishna's service. Use it for Krishna's pleasure. That is beyond both happiness and distress. So if you have a nice husband, engage him in Krishna's service. Instead of worrying about, am I happy or am I sad? See, how can I use everything I have? Mind, body, home, whatever. The difference between a sannyasi and a grihastha is that the grihastha prefers to live with family and use the family for serving Krishna. But the whole point of serving Krishna is the same.